Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Hey, welcome everybody. Great to have you with us as we begin a new and very interesting week all about the coronavirus, right, and how it's impacting every area of our lives. And boy, it is. We'll talk a little bit about that, but actually it's something else. While we are all obsessing with what is Kate Brown going to do next? Oh, yeah. I do mean coronavirus. Is she going to try to implement what they're doing in New York City and other places where you're going to close bars, restaurants? She's supposedly going to make that decision today. I don't think she can do that. We'll see if she can get away with it. So what are you doing in response to coronavirus? Well, I'm just curious. Are you staying at home? Are you going out? Are you trying to live life like as normal as possible? Did you go to church yesterday? I did, because I'm not living in a spirit of fear. Now, there's a difference between being fearful and being cautious. Cautious is not a bad thing. Caution is a good thing. But at what point do we say to Kate Brown and everybody else, you know what? I have constitutional rights. You have limited ability to tell me that I cannot, as it guarantees us in the Constitution, peaceably assemble. Because now the federal government is saying, you know, maybe you ought to think about banning all 50 or less person events. What? Again, what is it all based on? If, in fact, one person can spread it to another person, then just ban all two-person gatherings. And let's see how well that goes over. But while all of this is going on, there's something else going on, folks. Kate Brown's cap-and-trade climate change order. You see, it all revolves around a new plan to supersize the clean fuels program. That's the story by Ted Sickinger in the Oregonian today on Oregon Live. You can see it on OregonWatchdog.com, or you will be able to if they get all their stories up and going for today. It appears that they have. Here's the problem with it, folks. Yesterday, in the Statesman Journal, there's a great legal piece, and I'm going to get this through you because I think this is very informative for you. It's a piece written by a lawyer, and it's about how Kate Brown's executive order, well, it has some problems. Namely, she can't do most of it. And I want to talk about this because I think this is important in your daily discussions with other people. Not just about coronavirus, but this thing is going to go on. Yes, coronavirus is having an enormous impact on the stock market. It's going to open way lower today. You know, at the bottom of this hour, the market will open. It's likely going to trigger the circuit breaker. It's just, you know, the Fed made the dramatic cut yesterday over one percentage point in the borrowing rate. But you know what? If you're a working person and you can't work as well, or as much because your business is being dramatically affected by this hyperventilating over this issue of coronavirus, you're not going to go borrow money. It doesn't help you. Now, it may help your employer, okay, but what would help you? Well, the thing that would help you the most is what Donald Trump is proposing, which the House did not put in their bill that the Senate takes up today, the U.S. Senate. And that is a payroll tax cut, because that's immediate for you. And then, of course, enhanced unemployment insurance, those things. And at least in Oregon, I saw that Rhino Republican Sherry Helt out of Bend, who did not walk out with the other House Republicans, she's proposing a kicker refund right now. Good for you, Sherry. That's one of the few smart things you've done. That's an excellent idea. If you want to help people, give them back their money right now. And what do I say by their money? You see, the kicker, folks, is your money. It's what has been overpaid into the Oregon Department of Revenue, the Oregon Treasury, if you will, because we've collected more money because of a great Trump economy, or at least it was, because now everybody's talking about going into a severe recession. Well, you know what? If you shut down all the bars and the restaurants, hello, what do you think is going to happen? Yeah, severe recession. And nothing that Biden or Bernie said last night is going to change that. Neither one of those two guys gave anybody any confidence in anything. In fact, who knows? Maybe they're part of the reason that the market is going to be down so far today. Now, Trump has got to come out and speak like he did yesterday and like he did the day before and the day before that. He's got to come out and talk again today and try to calm everybody down. Yeah, we're gonna find that our cases are going to spike. And that's good that they're getting ahead of the messaging on it, folks. And I think that's appropriate. But it isn't going to be. It just isn't going to be this massive problem like everybody is freaking out over. Now, that's my prediction to you. Maybe I'm wrong. And if I am, okay, sorry. What do I know? I'm just a farm boy. You know, I went to church yesterday. We did two services yesterday. And typically, we've got 400-plus meeting at our church outside of Harrisburg Life Bible. And we were going to go to two services anyway. So we probably had, you know, maybe 250 people total yesterday in both services. First service was much fuller than the second. But, you know, we're not going to live in fear. We're not going to walk in fear. We are going to be smart, yes. You know, don't hang around people who are exhibiting signs of a cold or the flu, and like you would do anyway, right? And if you have those things, please don't go spread it around. And if you have it, go buy one of those N95 masks. The rest of us don't need to be breathing what you're breathing out. If you're sick, you put the mask on, okay? At any rate, folks, I'm not going to live in fear. Probably going to go to Walmart today. Oh, you know, my guess is that there's going to be less people there because everything's bought out, at least in terms of. And what is it with toilet paper anyway? I saw a tweet. You know, Lars, he sent out some tweet yesterday. I mean, I really do try to stay off of social media and everything. I don't try to watch Fox News. I had to a little bit yesterday just because of the breaking news. But at any rate, you know, this Lars retweets this picture, some video, some guy somewhere, I think at a Walmart, that had the whole back of his pickup filled up with toilet paper. What? Why? Probably because he's going to take it around the neighborhood and sell it for a big profit. Talk about price gouging. At any rate, folks, it's just, I am not living in fear, and I don't think you should either. Now, again, that doesn't mean you shouldn't take precautions, because you should. It's okay. But don't be fearful here. So New York City is ordering the bars and the restaurants closed. Kate Brown may do that here. Is that the right thing to do? I just, you want to make the economy worse? You want to see your 401k become a 101k? Just continue down this pathway. I just think it's crazy. At any rate, she is considering a curfew, this is an Oregonian story, for restaurants and bars, limiting their occupancy or potentially temporarily just shutting them down together. All right. I think that let's not overhype this. This thing it's not to the level that a lot of other things have been in the past. And we didn't do any of this stuff. And just keep that in mind. All right. So Kate Brown's executive order faces some challenges. And let me get into this. It's written by a lawyer from Salem. Let me get into this. It's an op-ed piece that he put into the Salem Statesman Journal. And what he's, I'm going to start in the second paragraph here. In response to the legislature shutting down, thank you, Republicans, Kate Brown signed an executive order directing state agencies to make sweeping policy changes under what is known as administrative rulemaking. This action undoubtedly, he writes, will lead to litigation. However, the means of a legal challenge is unclear. The governor's order isn't the underlying problem. Indeed, the governor's action itself is largely immaterial to the process. The Oregon Constitution does not grant the governor these rights. In other words, the right to enact what she, by administrative rule what she could not enact by legislation. He continues, Article 5 of the Constitution only grants the governor the constitutional authority to recommend laws to the legislative branch and take care to execute the laws enacted by the legislature. Instead, any legal challenge will arise under two theories. First, that the executive branch, by engaging in sweeping policy changes, is overstepping Oregon's constitutional separation of powers. Article 3 of Oregon's Constitution divides state government into three separate departments: legislative, executive, including the administrative agencies, and the judicial. Article 3 further mandates that no branch can exercise any of the functions of another, unquote. As a result, the constitutional separation of powers in Oregon mandates that the legislative branch be entrusted with policy decisions, while the executive branch's responsibility is implementing the policies enacted. By acting without legislative direction, the executive branch will be engaging in a quasi-legislative action. This has time and time again been discouraged by Oregon courts and runs contra to Oregon's constitutional safeguards. Now, I'll get into the second legal theory in a moment and also give you some example of how this has been done previously. In fact, just recently in another state. And it should give you, well, if you're worried about it, it should give you some hope. And some comfort, sort of like staying home from any place today will give you hope and comfort. By the way, you know what? I went out to dinner at a local restaurant in Harrisburg called the 99 Grill. It's a great little kind of a Route 66 theme cafe. Talked to the owner. Their business is off 40%. I left a bigger than normal tip to the waitress. You know what? Don't live your life in fear. Go out to a restaurant. Hey, no matter. Brown says, see the big thing. Back home, you're listening to the coffee. Don't let your home sit. No promises, no defense. Love is a battle.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Yeah, it's 22 minutes past the top of the hour. And great to have you with us, folks, as we begin a new week of who knows what's going to happen now. You know, look, folks, don't live your life in fear. This coronavirus business, you know, I don't think it's as bad as everybody is freaking out over, okay? I think you should just relax a little bit. And the president said that the other day. I think it was Saturday, wasn't it? Yeah, he came out and said, you know, we've been listening, you know, we've been talking to all these executives and, you know, they, you know, don't go buy five times the amount of stuff. You don't need to. Yeah, and he's right. Yeah, I mean, you should have a little bit of extra stuff. You should be able to survive for at least a week, okay? You know, without going to a store. But don't buy 5 months worth of toilet paper, of all things. Jeez. In fact, that was a joke in church yesterday. It really was. Okay, anyway, 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. I've been remiss in not giving out the phone number. Now, I have an important question to ask, by the way. Is your perception of coronavirus, by the way, before I get back to Kate Brown and this whole business about her executive order on climate change and why it's unconstitutional. Here's the deal, folks. Are Republicans looking at this differently than Democrats? Now, that comes from an email. You want to send me an email, by the way. It's jeff@1220.am. Dwight sent me a great email about this. And it is, you know, do we look at it differently? Actually, I'm sorry. That was Jim that sent me that email. Dwight sent me another great email on another part of this topic. But is there a difference between how we look at coronavirus and those, all the issues surrounding? Is there a difference between Republicans and Democrats on them? Is there? Well, apparently there was a poll taken. Jim wrote me an email, said, I don't pay attention to the polls, but I was surfing around. I read the insider article on polling done on coronavirus. Brings up a good question. Do you think there's a party divide in the reaction to COVID-19? Now, yesterday, if you watched, and I've just seen a couple of clips. I mean, I wasn't going to watch two old white guys that are socialist communists talk about all the socialist communist ideas they want to enact if they become president. I wasn't going to watch that. But apparently, all they did was bash Trump. And apparently, over coronavirus. That makes them look really stupid. Every day that Trump comes out and sounds calm and says, just settle down, everybody. We got a handle on this. So is there a difference between how Republicans and Democrats view coronavirus and our reactions to it? I mean, look, Queen Kate is Queen Kate, right? She is going to rule by edict, by scepter to us peons, as, you know, communist elitists always do, regressive totalitarian Marxists, right? So whether it's enacting her unconstitutional executive order on climate change, or it's saying you can't go to bars and restaurants anymore, or 250 people is too much, we got to lower it to 50. And then what'll be next? And based on what, Kate? Based on what science, Kate? At any rate, you would expect the totalitarian Marxist regressives like Kate to act differently when it comes to coronavirus than you do free market, liberty-minded Republicans, right? Well, maybe, maybe not. That's what this poll was about. Are Democrats more likely to avoid a crowd or cancel vacation than Republicans? Is there really a difference in how we view it? And Jim ends his email by saying, social distancing from West Salem. Okay. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll go to Jack. Jack, good morning. What do you have to say today? Or Jake, rather. Jake. Yeah, you should. Yeah, sorry, Jake. My producer's not typing well this morning.
No problem, Jeff. I don't know if it's so much a Democrat-Republican as urban versus rural. You get in the city, and I think there's a little more desperation on that end because they don't have some of the common sense stuff that we in the country as farmers have been dealing with, and not reckless by any means, but we're used to problem solving. And we're used to not having to call people, but dealing with it ourselves, then if push comes to shove, we can go forward in whatever way we can. And panicking gets you nowhere. I will admit that I've got a few butterflies in my stomach, but I went to the coast with my wife yesterday, and I was amazed at how wide open Lincoln City was. And like you, I went to a restaurant and wanted to support the locals. And so my take on this is that you look at the past type of infectious diseases that have been put out there on various media sites, and this one is, I'm not trying to put it down or lessen the impact that it will have on some people, but it's been way worse, way worse. And I think that we're working up a frenzy here. People that want to hoard toilet paper selfishly, that's what's going to cause panic, is when people hoard. It's unnecessary. So Democrat versus Republican, yeah, probably, but I think more rural versus urban, because when my folks were young kids in Holland during World War II, the city emptied out to the country for food. It's a story that's been played over and over when I was a kid over the kitchen table with my mom and dad. You couldn't have any food in the city. They were bombed out by the Germans. And so the people came to the countries, to the farmers that had the milk and the cabbage and the potatoes, Jeff. So I don't know, what's your thoughts on that?
Urban versus rural. I like it, Jake. I think that's an interesting perspective, and I think it's an accurate perspective. And I think it is based on how human nature is. And your story about your parents coming from, you know, that war-torn part of World War II is the perfect example of how human nature replays itself, because it's human nature. Jake, thanks for a great call. When we come back, folks, I'll get to that second point about Kate Brown's executive order that is likely unconstitutional, depending on some things, and we'll talk about that when we come back. Don't go away. Thanks, Jake. Are Republicans reacting to coronavirus differently? Or is it urban versus rural? Back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 24 minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us, folks, as we begin a new week, a crazy week of coronavirus and Kate Brown's unconstitutional actions to deal with it, along with her other unconstitutional actions. And we'll get into the second point in the Statesman Journal op-ed piece about why her likely executive order having to deal with climate change is probably unconstitutional, depending. We'll get into that. Your phone calls, 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Trading opened up. They halted it almost immediately. It's down. The Dow is down 2,250 points. The circuit breaker kicked in. Part of what's causing the selling, by the way, is the fact that there's a thing called margin calls. For those of you who have traded stocks, you know what I'm talking about. That's where you literally borrow 50% of the value of a stock when you borrow the money for it. It's what you do. And when the price of the stock drops below the half that you have to pay back, guess what? You got to pay it back. How do you do that? You sell the stock. Margin call selling is a bunch of this. You know, but here's the interesting thing. Even so, folks, there are people making money in the market right now, especially if you had bet on the downside. That's a whole nother thing. But, you know, the bottom line, it's never a good thing to see this happen. Now, there are companies that are dealing with the coronavirus issue that are going up and up and up and up and up. Yeah, you got to find them. They're out there. But none of this is good. This is excessive. It's irrational. Now, Jake brought up something before. Is this a Republican or Democrat thing and how we're responding to coronavirus? Yeah, you know, Democrats tend to be, regressive, totalitarian Marxist. They rule by edict, and Queen Kate is no different. But is this, like Jake brought up, is this instead, is it really kind of an urban versus rural thing? So I went to Winco on in Albany on Saturday. Should not have done that in the afternoon. There's way too many people there. But I'll say this. Nobody was panicking. Yeah, they were sold out of all fresh fruits and vegetables just about. I mean, it was very little you could actually buy. And all the toilet paper and paper towels were gone. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's silliness. As were the disinfectants. But interesting, I heard a guy say, said, yeah, you know, instead of buying toilet paper, I went out and bought ammunition. Kind of gets to that point, what Jake said, urban versus rural. Anyway, this segment of the show, by the way, is brought to you by a great Salem-based company, Diamond Royalty Rides. You know, folks, in fact, one of the ways that you might just seriously think about calming the family fears, why don't you go hire a limo and go out to a restaurant like Jake and his wife did? They went out to the coast like I did yesterday after church. I went to a restaurant. Live your life with some normalcy here. The social distancing business is just, yeah, be precautionary, but folks, we've had it far worse than this. At any rate, Diamond Royalty Rides is a great local limousine company. If you've never ridden in a limousine, you ought to look into it. Surprisingly affordable. Go to their website, diamondroyaltyrides.com. Check it out. All right. From the Statesman Journal op-ed written by a lawyer saying that, yeah, you know, Kate Brown's executive order on climate change probably is unconstitutional. First point was this, is that the Oregon Constitution divides Oregon government in three sections: legislative, executive, which is the governor, and the state agencies, and then the judicial, Oregon Court of Appeals, our judges, the Supreme Court of Oregon. None of them can do the job of the other, in so many words. That's the first point. So Kate cannot legislate by executive order. Only the legislature can do it. And courts cannot legislate, even though they try. They can't, under the Constitution. Here's the second point. The state agencies themselves do not have the statutory power to act. The governor can direct, and I'm reading from the op-ed, the governor can direct state agencies to create rules within statutory parameters. Chapter 183 of the ORS, Oregon Revised Statutes, that's our state laws, governs administrative rulemaking, including challenges to agency action. Let me say that again. Challenges to agency action, like rulemaking. He continues, any challenge to cap-and-trade policies will thus have to argue that the agency lacks the authority to act. A successful challenge will likely bring an action to stay or halt the enacted rule before the Oregon Court of Appeals. To be successful, the petitioner has to show they will suffer irreparable harm absent a stay, and that there is a colorable claim of error to the rule, namely that the agency acted outside of its statutory authority. So those are the two main theories. Number one, that Kate Brown is trying to legislate, trying to do by executive order what she couldn't do that the legislature has to do. The second one is that the agencies can only act within the statutory power they've been granted. They cannot go beyond that. Now, he continues here. By the way, the author of this is Joseph Pickles. He's a lawyer, lives in Salem. He continues, Governor Brown's order directs 19 different agencies to use their regulatory tools to administer the governor's climate change policies. That's a big gamble for the governor, which could potentially derail cornerstones to the package. Now, listen to this. Remember I teased you with this before we went to the first break? I'd love to tease you, folks. I teased you with, you know, there's an example of where this has been tried recently, and it didn't work out too well. for a neighboring retro Bolshevik governor, to quote Ron. That would be Governor Jay Inslee of Washington. Here's what this lawyer writing the op-ed writes, Joseph Pickles. Just recently, quote, the Washington Supreme Court upheld a lower court decision invalidating much of Governor Jay Inslee's executive order directing state agencies to implement cap-and-trade-like policies. Similar arguments would need to be made to halt Oregon's actions. It remains to be seen just how expansive the agency's attempt to regulate. That's the issue, folks. If they go a step too far, a challenge could dagger the entire agenda. It's unclear, he concludes, how effective a legal challenge would be. What is clear, however, is that Oregon's cap-and-trade saga is far from over. Oh, yeah. Now, the people that would challenge whatever Kate Brown would be doing here are going to be people who are going to be harmed. So, again, it's 19 different agencies that Kate Brown is going to try to implement her cap-and-trade policies. They vary, folks. The Oregon Forestry Department, so if you're a timber company and these new rules are going to impact you, you could sue, depending on how far the rules go. If you're in the automotive industry and it say, has to do with emissions standards. What if you're in the transportation industry? Say you're a trucking company. By the way, you know all this toilet paper that people are hoarding and freaking out over? How does that get delivered? Hello, buy a truck. Thank you, Kate Brown, for trying to raise our cost of living even higher. The bottom line, folks, is that Jay Inslee's tried this in Washington State, and their uber-liberal Supreme Court agreed with the uber-liberal appeals court that he couldn't do much of it. Their constitution is not greatly different than ours. There are some differences, but the point would be that the Oregon judges, whether they're lower court judges or Supreme Court judges, would have to look at the rationale and the reasoning of the Washington courts. At least that's what lawyers who would be bringing the lawsuits on behalf of the industry being affected by this, that's what they would argue, and that's what they would ask them to consider. Trading has started up again, and it's the Dow is off 2,700 points. Don't freak out, folks. If you had money sitting on the sidelines, pretty soon is going to be time to buy, buy, buy. At any rate, I hope that this op-ed gives you some comfort that Kate Brown is, I can guarantee you, she's going to be challenged, as she should be, because she will go too far. The danger for her is this. Since Kate Brown obviously wants to run for higher office, if she loses this, if she tries to go too far with some agencies and it gets turned down by the liberal Oregon Supreme Courts, it makes her look really bad and would hurt her challenge down the road. Now, let's see how extreme Kate Brown is willing to be. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. When we come back, some more emails and your thoughts. You think Kate Brown should shut down any public meeting over 50 people? Stop restaurants and bars? By the way, how would that help pay for her big spending out of control agenda? Yeah. Probably would be money. Back in a moment. Call
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back, my friends, 10 minutes till the top of the hour. I want to remind you, if you're looking for a contractor, a reliable contractor, someone will be honest with you, check out Righteous Renovations. It's Eric Azer's company. It's a local Salem-based contractor. Go check out the great, well, testimonials of satisfied customers. That's on his website, righteousrenovations.com. Righteousrenovations.com. Emails. Let's see here. What's interesting is one of the things about this coronavirus business, and thanks, Avis, for a great email, about all these families, quote-unquote families, that are coming across our southern border. And it is a crisis, because many of them aren't families. They're just faking that they're families. Here's the problem. If you think those people have been dealing in good hygiene, I mean, the coyotes put them for weeks sometimes, like many, many families in one little house. We talk about a petri dish for breeding of all kinds of disease. That's it. And you want those people coming across the southern border? Open borders, Bernie? Mr. Biden, who said he would halt all deportations in the first 100 days? All deportations? And then only the criminal ones after that? Oh, yeah, that's going to go over good. At any rate, this strengthens Trump's hand, folks. When it comes to, you know, whatever Trump's got to agree to, guess what? Trump can put money in for the border. I mean, he's already got most of it, okay? And they're not going to be able to stop him. Because the courts, he's well within his rights to do that. But anyway, I just think it strengthens Trump's arguments here. So let's see. Dwight did send me a great email about restaurants and bars being closed. It's a USA Today article about that. And it, you know, Kate may try to do that here. Roger sent me one about the Bernie Biden little thing that happened last night. That boring, retro, Bolshevik centered debate they had. Here's what Roger writes. Biden is under pressure to pick a female or a minority or both as his candidate for vice president. Now he has said he'll pick a female. If he were to pick Stacey Abrams, he would ensure his own defeat. Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, is a possibility. But what the progressive Democrats would love is for him to pick Michelle Obama. She has what the media considers real star power. But make no mistake, she and Biden are not moderates at all. Biden was behind gun-free zones, which are killing zones. Biden supports giving free health care to illegal immigrants. Michelle Obama wasn't proud of America until they elected her husband. They ran together, the media would fawn over her and ignore Biden's gaffes and fast approaching Alzheimer's / dementia while playing up all of Trump's gaffes. If Biden wins, he'll appoint Kamala Harris as AG and Beto O'Rourke as head of ATF. Then just after the midpoint of his second term, he'll resign for health reasons. And Michelle Obama becomes president, giving her a possible 10 years in office. Did she appoint her husband to the Supreme Court? Think that the Senate wouldn't approve that? A Democrat Senate approved JFK's appointment of his own brother as Attorney General almost 60 years ago. I got a great cartoon here. And I don't know who it's. Oh, it's from my buddy, the cartoon guy. Says, I'm sure glad we don't have to see plastic bags and straws all over the ground. And it's like a guy and a gal walking next to like homeless tents everywhere. Yeah, Kate cares about the homeless so much, doesn't she? And Cartoon Guy says, hey, Cartoon Guy here, I bet this is all over and the world rebounds like post-war and liberals and the Femocrats will actually think that coronavirus will thank the coronavirus for bringing the economy back. Yeah, well, thanks for the cartoon, though. Appreciate it, buddy. And then finally, Dwight sends me an email about gun sales soaring. He said, I would say that the conservatives view the pandemic differently than the regressive totalitarian Marxists. They are buying the toilet paper. We're buying guns. And yeah, there's an LA Times story about this. The headline being coronavirus pandemic gun sales surge in California. Well, you know, you got to keep yourself safe, right? So it's going to remain to be seen what Kate does today in regarding if she's going to try and ban lower the crowd size number, or is she just going to ban restaurants and bars? I mean, look, again, she opens herself up to inconsistency here. She's got to be really careful with that. You know, it was pretty cold. In fact, it's pretty cold right now. I'm below 30 degrees. If that heat pump is not working for you, the furnace is not working right, we still have cold nights ahead of us, folks. Great opportunity for you to get it fixed with a great company, Freedom Heating and Air, based in Salem. They're 40 years in business here, which means they're doing it right. Check out their website, freedomheatingandair.net. They have emergency service. They can come out and fix that thing if it ain't working right. freedomheatingandair.net. So it remains to be seen what Kate Brown does today. But let me just say this to you, folks. She's betting that most of what she wants to do with her cap and trade failure, she can fix through the Clean Fuels program. Now, here's something to keep in mind for you as we kind of end the show. Whatever Kate Brown does by edict, whether it's saying you can't go to a bar or restaurant or 50 people or more can't come together, is challengeable because we have constitutional rights and protections. The same is true with her cap and trade stuff. It's challengeable. Now, consider this. In California, which enacted cap and trade several years ago, they now have the highest fuel prices in the nation. They don't even have a clean fuels program, and we do. What if they do clean fuels? On top of that, and we did it too. Cap and trade. Can you imagine how high our gas prices would be? It's crazy, folks. All right, be safe out there today. Don't live your life in fear. Talk to you tomorrow. Be blessed.